we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara, Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass, and we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Boyer here. And we were talking about separation anxiety, and something that might be good to add, we were talking about it during the break, that about barrier issues as well, that might also play into separation anxiety. And we're going to sort of segue after that into a discussion about travel with your pets as opposed to leaving them.
Right. Yeah. So I think the first thing, and this is true whether your pet has separation anxiety, storm, noise phobias, or really in general, is if you are going to travel, especially making sure that they're microchipped. We're talking about cats and how easy it is to slip outside. And when they end up in a shelter setting, a lot of cats start looking very similar if you've got the cat that, you know, kind of domestic short hair. So it is important to have the microchip, make sure that you've got that up to date. We see that periodically as pets are brought in without identification tags, collars. We scan them, we get a microchip number, but then it hasn't been updated. So, or the person, you know, that previously owned the pet is still listed on the microchip. So make sure that you do keep that information up to date. There's no cost, at least I know with the Home Again ones, and I know there's a lot of other companies, I can't speak to all of them, but I know with that particular one that we carry, they don't charge to update that. So you can keep a running tally of, you know, phone number, address, wherever you need to be.
And we do have a caller on the line, yep, possibly with a question, maybe a comment, but go ahead, caller, you're on In Focus.
Have you tried something as simple as leaving the television on for audio and video?
Yeah. So sometimes that can help. Absolutely. So some white noise, sometimes television or a noisemaker of some sort will help some pets. Some no. So it just, again, depends. And that's why that kind of approach where we talk about what might work for one pet might not work for another. So, yeah, it's a good point that sometimes that can be helpful for some pets. Absolutely.
And that's to deal with maybe the noise anxiety?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, both. We do see some pets with storm phobias where you can turn on music or something to drown out the sounds. With storms, there's a lot of components that the pet can be fearful. It can be things that they feel in the air. It can also be the sight of the lightning. It can be the sounds of the thunder. So sometimes turning on something can be helpful for some pets. Others, if it's more of the static charge in the air, the ozone kind of change, it doesn't help them. And same thing with separation anxiety. There are some that having a second pet in the home can be super helpful, and other times it makes no difference at all. With the other noisemakers or other pet, they simply want their caregiver. And if they're not there, it can be stressful.
Well, I'm glad that I'm ticking off a few boxes. I have fans running quite frequently, and yeah, I have multiple cats, so hopefully that helps my situation out.
It can. Sometimes it just depends on the individual animal. Sometimes it helps for one and not another one, as I mentioned.
And we were talking a little bit about travel needs as well, and mm-hmm, you brought up the idea of microchipping. Mm-hmm. And very, very important to information there, especially.
Right.
Especially if, you know, things happen.
Yeah. And there are some places where, international travel, there are some countries where you have to have a microchip place to travel. And that's one of the things that oftentimes people forget. It can be a last minute, like, oh, my pets are going with me somewhere, but I hadn't even considered if they need special things to go. And that might mean a health certificate. So each state has different requirements for travel, either by auto or by air. So by air, you may need a specific document. And even by automobile, there are some different states that are different. You may need special things for the pet to go with you. And definitely for overseas travel, it can take several months to prepare for some of those types of adventures. So you need to check with your veterinary clinic early and find out if there are specific things they need.
Yeah, do some research before
you
head out.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of those things that we oftentimes get more of a last minute, hey, we're moving to XYZ, and no one's considered that the pet has special travel needs.
And in the discussion of travel, it also plays into the idea of anxiety again.
Right.
I know personally, one of the cats I own is because their previous family was a military family, and they went to Germany. And they, according to the shelter I got it from, told me that they believed this cat would have been way too anxious to make the flight and probably wouldn't have survived the flight, and as such, they had to leave it behind.
And it does, you know, involve, again, I brought it up a few times, but working with your clinic, because there are things that we can do for those really anxious pets to help them with that, because we don't want any animal getting on an airliner and being panicked, because some of these flights will send people to South Korea and China and overseas into Europe, and they can be very, very long flights. So it's really important to think about what needs the pet might have to make those kind of journeys.
And is that frequently types of medication then and what are some of the things you could maybe do in addition to that as well to help your pet be maybe not necessarily the flight, but a drive or something like that, make them feel a little more comfortable?
Sure. Well, again, it does come down to that kennel training. For the cats especially, a lot of times people will only bring out the kennel when it involves a trip to the clinic. And that's really something that you should be keeping the kennel out and available for the cat to see at other times, feeding them in there, using it as a place to give treats, putting a blanket in there, letting them sleep in the kennel, because it will give them an introduction to that, so it doesn't just come out in times where the cat has an experience where they have to go receive, you know, blood draw, etc. So that is really important for cats just as much as dogs, making sure that they're comfortable on their restraints. So for a dog, if they need to walk on a harness and they have a leash, making sure that they're comfortable with those things, and then taking their amenities with you as best as you can so that we have those same things available and it's familiar to the pet for the travel, making sure that you have all the needed medications, any special foods if they're on a special diet, make sure you've stocked up so that it's not a last minute decision. So really thinking about those things well in advance.
Yeah, because when you plan for yourself to go on a trip, you have all those things in mind, but you know, why not your pet too? If they're coming with you, you need to have all that with
them. And you should anyway. I mean, I think I spoke last spring about the flooding and being prepared for an emergency. And it all comes down to that too, is you really should always keep those things in some level of preparation so that you are ready if you have to leave your home in a hurry. And so with travel, I guess the nice thing is you've got some time to prepare those things, making sure they're up to date on their immunizations. If they do have to stay behind and board someplace, making sure that you've left a list of the contact information and special instructions for your pet so that they're not changing medications or you know, running out of their food while they're at the kennel so that you can give them as many positive things as possible.
And we can do a lot to possibly alleviate the situation, but in some cases, maybe there's just nothing we can do and the cat's going to be anxious on the trip or something.
Well, and there are lots of options medically as far as making sure if they're healthy enough to receive medication for travel. Sometimes there are nutraceuticals. We mentioned the anxiety wraps and things like that. There are a number of things that we can do for those pets. And so our goal is always that their trip is as stress-free as possible, because no one wants to be, you know, bringing their cat on the airplane and then having them cry for 8 hours. That's not going to be helpful for anyone, cat included. So we need to make sure that we do everything we can to prepare. So oftentimes there is that getting them used to the travel through short car rides and seeing if we are using medication, is it going to work for the pet? Is it going to be a dose that's appropriate where they can be nice and relaxed?
I always had this idea to possibly set up my backseat to be a little cat playground on the trip, but I'm always wary to do that because it might end up being a bathroom for them.
Well, the safest place, from what I've seen in different literature, is the safest place for your cat especially is usually kind of on the seat behind, so kind of passenger back on the floor. A lot of pets don't enjoy watching the world whiz by outside, especially the cats. So keeping them low, they do sell attachments for your seat belt for the dog. And I see a lot of dogs like right in the front window, their heads hanging out. You know, there's a lot of risks, anything from in the city, from rocks that can hit them in the face when they're sticking their heads out the window to falling out of the vehicle. I had an extreme case where the cat was in the back seat and they hit the brakes and the cat hit the windshield. So it came in with a skull injury. So they do need to be secured in the vehicle as well for auto travel. I'm sure it's, you know, it's fun to let them run about and play, but at the same time, it's really not, we wouldn't let our kids do that, right? I mean, we have to have them secured. So there's ways to secure them in the vehicle and make it as safe as possible, too.
Very good points there. And I think we're just about out of time there. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on really quickly before we left?
You know, I think that's the big things is just working with your doctor's office, because there's lots of things we can do, and remembering that this is not something to be embarrassed about. If your pet has one of these problems, there's ways that we can help them and help everyone to move forward positively and enjoy their time together.
Dr. Breuer, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, you're welcome.